This is so fun getting to Shabbos together. Thanks for being here. So every year this time of year, I think about my grandfather. He was a total curmudgeon, especially this season. I named Eder after him, and thankfully that curmudgeon-like energy has not yet come through. But he used to get so plugged in this time of year. Like, middle of November, he would start to grumble when Christmas decorations went up. And then after Thanksgiving, when all the major retail stores started to blast Christmas carols, he would be in such a sour mood. We would go to the grocery store, and I just remember him muttering under his breath up and down every aisle, and then all the way home. And his mood didn't really improve until around February, when the last of the Christmas decorations were put away. And I never asked him, like, what about Christmas plugged him in so much? Like, what exactly about it? But somehow I unconsciously adopted his oppositional energy towards Christmas. And I didn't even realize it. But I noticed myself as an adult walking into a grocery store and just being on edge with the Christmas carols. Like, why? It's not a wonderful time of the year. Can't we listen to something else? And I noticed myself, you know, driving through the streets, noticing Christmas lights and thinking, how much climate change is affected by Christmas lights? And there was a time where anytime anyone would wish me a Merry Christmas, I would be like, I don't celebrate Christmas. Happy holidays. A couple of years ago, things started to shift for me. We have a dear friend who was going through a really hard time. And she's somebody who loves Christmas. And when I say loves Christmas, she like sings Christmas carols in July. She loves the song, she loves the cookie, she loves the meal, she looks forward, she counts down on her calendar every single year. And that year, she happened to be stuck in Boston over Christmas, away from friends and family. I remember calling her and thinking, you know, she's having a hard time, I'll ask her about Christmas, that'll cheer her up. Christmas always cheers her up. I said, what are you doing for Christmas? And she said, nothing. And I said, nothing? You love Christmas. It's your favorite holiday of the whole year. You're looking forward to it from July. What do you mean you're doing nothing for Christmas? She said, I'm stuck in Boston. I don't really know anybody except you. Just the idea of making Christmas on my own is too depressing to even contemplate. So I jumped into problem-solving mode. I have a friend. I could call them. You could celebrate Christmas with them. What if you got on a plane? We could get you on a plane. You could go. What if, oh, there's a great church. I know a great church. I could introduce you. No. I'm just not going to do Christmas this year. It's okay. Finally, a last-ditch effort. Do you want to come to our house that weekend? You could do Christmas with us. I thought for sure she'd say no. Because who says yes to Christmas at a rabbi's house? But I underestimated my friend. She said, yeah, that sounds amazing. Thank you. So that night I went home and I told Solomon what I had offered. And he said, ho, 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 rabbi. Merry Christmas. To which I said, do not say that. We are not celebrating Christmas. We are helping our friend to celebrate Christmas in our house. There is a big difference. And that was my mantra for the whole weekend. We schlepped boxes. I don't know if you know this. Christmas has a lot of boxes. There are a lot of boxes. There's a tree that comes in a box. There are ornaments that come in a box. Those lights are impossible to unwind. We brought our friend over. We spent hours untwisting, unwinding, getting the tree just set up. And the whole time I couldn't figure out, like, how am I going to feel when that tree goes up in my living room? That was always like a line I was never going to cross. But it was so interesting for me because I was so focused on my friend and on watching the joy that came for her. Every time we took an ornament out of the box, her heart just lifted. And it was so powerful that I was just experiencing something I'd never, ever thought to experience before. And I realized that there was something very interesting, that I, my whole life, have been very comfortable inviting friends to come celebrate Passover with me and celebrate Hanukkah with me, but I'd never returned the favor. I'd never set out to go celebrate someone else's holiday in their way with them. And celebrating with my friend, it changed things for me. I realized that previously, when Christmas came around, I felt like I had to be on the defensive. Like, normative American culture was just gonna get in and get me, and if I wasn't careful and on the defensive, that I was gonna accidentally do Christmas, or that the music was gonna get into my spirit, it was gonna push out the Jewish music, that there was, I had to be like protective of my heart. And that year, I wasn't on the defensive, I was choosing to open my heart to my friend. I wasn't trying to actively close out the sound of Christmas carols, I was listening with joy as my friends sang them in our kitchen. And I was really enjoying cooking a Christmas dinner in a kosher kitchen. We had a wonderful time. We watched movies. We made Christmas cookies. We sat at the table. We had great conversation. And the most wonderful part was watching our friend just beaming as she told stories about her family, about Christmases that she remembered in her past. And at the end of the weekend, we brought her home. She was in a better place, and we were too. And what was also interesting for me, I thought it was just like a one-time deal, right? Like, that was the year I was doing Christmas, and then, like, never again. But it had a lingering effect in my life, which was that the next year, I remember distinctly walking into the grocery store, and they were playing It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. And my first thought was remembering my friend dancing in our kitchen singing that song. And it was the first time that that had shifted for me, that I was in this mood of just, I could sense what it was for other people, and I could appreciate it, and it really transformed the way I experienced the season. Which reminds me of this beautiful teaching in the Talmud that I know our rabbis never intended for this moment. Rabbis ask, who gets a higher reward? The one who says a bracha for their own mitzvah, or the one who says amen to someone else's bracha? And you might think the answer is, you get the highest reward for doing what God asked you to do, right? God says, do this mitzvah, you do it, you say, God, I love you, you're amazing, I'm lifting you up in this moment, you are so holy, thank you for bringing me to this moment, amen, holiest moment ever. But no, the rabbis say that is not the highest reward. Because when you say a bracha for yourself, that you have self-interest, right? You're getting mitzvah points for saying that bracha, and you're connecting to God. But when you say amen to someone else's bracha, you are both seeing God and acknowledging God's presence, but you're also seeing the light in another person. And that, they say, is just a higher level. Now, I know the rabbis never intended that teaching for this moment. They imagined a world in which we would be living largely amongst Jews, where we would be really only hearing blessings of other Jews. But I think that has profound Torah to teach us now. It's really important for us to live our own spiritual practice, to celebrate our holidays, to do our work, to be our true selves in this world. I really felt that when we gathered together for Hanukkah. That was magic. I really feel that today when we are here on this beautiful Shabbat morning. There is power to celebrating our traditions and to honoring God. But especially in this season when we feel so alone, especially in this season where we feel so unseen, there is also power to tuning our eyes to the people around us, to seeing their loneliness, to seeing their needs, to seeing what we can do to facilitate their joy, their happiness in this time of year. When Hanukkah started, the first text message I got was from our nanny, who doesn't know anything about Hanukkah, but saw it on her calendar and was so excited to say, Happy Hanukkah. She came that day and she was asking me all about, how do you do it and what do you do and what is the celebration? And then she found out we were having a Hanukkah celebration here and she said, can I come? She came, she brought her baby. Baby's not quite old enough yet to spin the dreidel or anything, but she was very excited. And I just remember feeling so seen, so lifted up, so supported. And all I did was tell her about latkes. She didn't even try one. I'm really excited. Tomorrow, I'm going to wish her a Merry Christmas.